That's a good ball. That's one that Ryan Giggs always wins.
And he does win. And it's Alan Smith. Oh. Wonderful goal. Absolute top draw from Alan Smith. Welbeck parks in. Can he finish it? Ji-Sung Park, Welbeck.
Well played, Ji-Sung Park. Well played.
Points are secured here. My word, it's been hard work. But United staying top of the shop going into the international break. They lead Norwich 2-0.
Welcome to Red Voices, the official Manchester United podcast. I'm Stuart Gardner from MUTV, and this week I'm joined by Gemma Thompson, Ben Hibbs and Adam Marshall from ManUnited.com. Coming up in today's show, we reflect on the Reds' victory over QPR at Loftus Road.
And now Rafael! Oh my word! Brazilian brilliance from Rafael!
We hear from United legend Lee Sharp. He talks about Ryan Giggs and United's current wingers.
He went past people as though they weren't there. He ran as fast without the ball as he did with the ball.
We get excited about this weekend's fixture against Norwich. And finally, we pick our player of the month for February. All right, let's start with the news then that United are going to face Chelsea in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. And entertainingly, it looks like Rafa Benitez has had a bit of a meltdown ahead of that big game then.
Yeah, he likes to do that, especially when Ferguson's around, doesn't he? But yeah, I think you know I'm quite looking forward to that game. I think it's that's going to be a good one. And as we said before in the previous week, I think if we're going to do it in the FA Cup, we're going to have to do it the hard way and play against Premier League opposition all the way. But I think it'll be a good game, and I think they've got quite a busy fixture schedule coming up the week leading up to that game. So I fancy our chances.
It's such a mouth-watering week ahead. I mean, you've got to, well, first of all, remember we've got to beat Norwich. You can't help think about Real Madrid, and you can't help think about Chelsea. But
I think
Norwich
fans,
is the one.
We're allowed to, aren't we? Yeah. As the players aren't thinking that far ahead, which I know they're not, are they? So it's important that the Norwich league game obviously is key for us. I think City don't play till Monday, so it's another chance to put some pressure on them. And then while they're worrying about their game on Monday, we'll have the big game on Tuesday to come up. So I think it's a measure of all the confidence of us in the office when we were talking about playing Middlesbrough or Chelsea. We all wanted Chelsea to win. We all wanted a big game, bring them here. And like Ben says, do it the hard way, because I think we'll be more up for that as fans and ready to sort of beat them and knock them out.
Well, before we talk about any of those games, let's just reflect on what we just saw last week, and that was a pretty gritty win at QPR, sort of win that you need at this time of the season. No doubt about the 3 points.
Yeah, definitely. I think you always worry when you come up against teams like QPR, you know, battling for their lives. What kind of performance are they going to put on against us? But United are just so focused at the moment, and like the manager said, it is a case of just ticking the games off. And I think when you look at, you know, you had QPR, Norwich and Reading in your mind, as you know, those three league games as very, very winnable compared to the tough game City have got coming up. So, you know, one down with QPR and let's get the job done against Norwich on Saturday.
I think one of the things we've seen, if you think back to the first half of the season, and it was a bit sort of kamikaze and we were scoring a load of goals but conceding quite a few as well. If you look at the contrast with the last few games, Everton, Southampton, Fulham, I mean, some of those are a little bit nervy in the second half, but in the QPR game as well, I think there's been a real professionalism about United, and it's seeing the job through. And I think that's something we're getting that's coming across from the manager and also all the players as well, that they're not looking too far ahead, they're not getting ahead of themselves, and they're looking to make sure we're getting the job done, the game in front of us. And I think you could tell that against QPR, that it was, you know, we are going to go out and get the 3 points. It wasn't a fantastic game, it wasn't, you know, a real classy performance, really entertaining game, but we did well and we did what we needed to do, and I think that's a good sign at this stage of the season.
It just was the sharp intake of breath when Robin van Persie fell down a hole behind the goal in the first half. There is the margins are fine, aren't they? We just think, wow, you wouldn't want to get him injured at this crucial point of the season. Obviously, we don't quite know the extent of it yet, but it doesn't at least seem very serious.
It seems like it's okay. Touch wood. I mean, he's not been injured all season, has he? So obviously he came with that sort of tag a little bit. Like the Arsenal fans when we signed him were saying, oh, well, he'll be injured all the time anyway, he's getting older. But like I say, touch wood, he's been fine in that respect. I think he was a bit distracted by Rafael's goal, wasn't it? That,
yeah.
You know, that he's down injured whilst Rafael's unleashed a rocket into the top corner. But
you mentioned Rafael there. We must mention Rafael. I think obviously a lot of people will think Robin van Persie might end up being United's player of the year or the player of the year full stop, but Rafael's got the shout, hasn't he?
Oh, he's been immense this season. He just has really grown into the role over the last couple of seasons, and this season he's taken it sort of by the scruff of the neck and said, no, I want to be, you know, the full-time Manchester United right back. And he should be, on the evidence we've seen this season. And the bonus we've had is the goals he's been chipping in with. You've just seen the fact that he's picked his moments now to go forward. He knows when he needs to get back. And he's not flying into tackles. You still see it now and again, but I think we all love that enthusiasm.
But it summed him up when that one where he cleared it off the line and then bombing a minute later he's bombing down the right and almost set up Van Persie for a goal. That summed him up, I suppose, in one move.
Yeah, and I think he's... He does still have that enthusiasm to his game where he tries to win, you know, every tackle, and I think that was one of the criticisms of him against Real Madrid. I think Gary Neville summed it up perfectly. He said, you don't need to win every single tackle. And, you know, he is still learning because he's still only young, but I think the fact that we threw him in to the first team at 18 and we accepted some of the mistakes that were going to come with that, we've now got a much better player for it, and he's just showing his maturity. And, you know, he's still got another 10, 12... maybe more years at the top.
I think his performance in the Bernabeu just summed up how far he's come.
Second half, anyway.
Well, yeah, no, but in terms of to have such a, you know, to be, you know, sort of run rings round a bit in the first half, you didn't really see a way back of him recovering, and he'd been booked.
He's on the booking, yeah.
And, you know, it's the way, and obviously, you know, he wasn't as busy in the second half because United had a bit more possession, but the way he recovered from that, you know, all credit to him in such an atmosphere and on such an occasion. I think that just shows the maturity and just how he's come on.
Talking to him after the game, actually, he said he was joking, he said it was getting boring talking about Ryan Giggs, because every time he plays, there's some sort of landmark where he does something special. Another goal last week on his 999th senior game. What more can you say about him?
I think he's right, isn't he? Because it is boring. Like every week there's a landmark. It'll be a league appearance, X amount, and then it'll be league and cup, and then it'll be all competitions. He's just phenomenal. You can't really sort of fathom how he just seems to get better in some respects. I mean, certainly over the last sort of 5 or 6 years, since he came into the team as like this exciting young winger, and I remember how exciting he was when he came into the side at first. And then he won everything, didn't he? He was brilliant around 99. And then he's sort of changed his game, adapting, but he's getting better at doing that, and he's brings so much authority to the team, doesn't he? And he's scoring goals as well now. Again, he's got consecutive games he's scored in the league. I mean, you can't ask for any more than what he's doing at the moment.
Some fans as well, I think, expected that this might be his last season. You know, I think earlier on in the season, you definitely saw some people saying, oh, you know, perhaps not seeing the same influence that he's making on games. But since the turn of the year especially, he's been amazing. Like, he just comes into a game and he knows exactly what needs to be done in certain situations in games, and I think that's at this stage of the season that's absolutely vital to have that, someone with that awareness.
I think that's interesting what Ben says, because I remember talking to Ryan at the start of the season, and he actually made the point that he said the manager won't play me that much between now and Christmas, but he knows after Christmas that's when I'll start to play more games, and he's totally right. And look at the influence he's had.
I think I watched all his goals on MUTV the other day, and like when each goal was going in over the last sort of 6-7 years even, I remember seeing that goal and thinking, this might be his last goal for United. Like, certainly the ones like the Wigan one on the final day, and you're thinking, this might be it now, and he's still going. It's amazing.
Well, former United winger Lee Sharp did praise Giggs on last night's An Audience With on MUTV. Let's hear from him now.
He's been, Giggs has been phenomenal. He's never been one...
You know he was that good back in the day?
Well, everyone did, yeah. Everyone. You know, we've seen videos of him from when he was sort of 9, 10, 11, running rings around people and scoring goals at youth level. And he came into the team and was early into the team. You could see that he went past people as though they weren't there. He ran as fast without the ball as he did with the ball. A superb left foot.
And obviously, you're both left-footed. Was there any rivalry there for the same position?
No, we were mates, and at the end of the day, you can only do as well as you can do, and if the manager wants to pick one of us and not the other one, then that's where things go, really. I mean, I played on the right a lot. I played centre midfield a little bit. Giggsy played on the right a little bit. I played on the left when he did. But we had Andre Kanchelskis as well. We had David Beckham coming through.
It wasn't a bad side.
It was a tough team to get into, but...
yeah.
No, I'd never fall out with someone because the manager makes a decision about them instead of me.
And you mentioned Giggs moved more into the boys, moved more into central now. What do you think of our current wingers? We've got Valencia, Nani, Young. What do you make of them?
I think they're good. I think we've got a good balance of wingers. I think Valencia is getting stronger every game he plays in. I think for me, for wingers, it's just... It's a bit difficult at times because as wingers, sometimes you don't see as much of the ball as a midfielder or a defender, but so you do need game time, and it's hard to get game time if you're not sort of producing magic every game. And Valencia, I'm really impressed with Young. I know he's been out a little while at the moment, but I really like Young. Nani can be brilliant on his day, but also just as frustrating when it's when it's not. So yeah, I think they've got some decent players there.
So Lee Sharp mentions United's wingers there. What are your thoughts on that situation now? Because you've got Valencia, who maybe hasn't been as good as last year. Nani, who's just come back and has reminded everyone what he can do. Ashley Young's had an injury-affected season. What are your thoughts on the wingers' situation?
I think Nani could be a real key player in the run-in, because I think he's the sort of player who can win matches. So I think, you know, I'd like to see him involved quite a bit, and I think he's been playing well recently. He did quite well in the last few games. Valencia, yeah, he seems to have hit a bit of a stumbling block this season. I think he was absolutely flying the last couple of seasons, but you know, maybe he just needs to rediscover a bit of that form. But the one thing you could say about the wingers is if they've not played all that much, or you know, all throughout the season so far, then they're going to be fresh for the games coming up in the next couple of months. So, I mean, we could see that they can really come into form in these next two, three months. So I think that could be an advantage for us.
Yeah, there's plenty of options, aren't there? If one of them isn't playing well, I mean, there is competition.
And the way we play as well, I guess we don't always play with two out-and-out wingers now, doing Danny Welbeck's been filling in, and he does a really good job on the flank. It's become a bit more tactical, I think, being a winger from the old days, where we had sort of Sharp and Kanchelskis and Giggs when he first came through, where they were very much attacking players, bombing forward. I think now there's a lot more responsibility. And to be fair to Nani, a lot of people criticise him for not having that side of his game. But he does get back, and I think, especially this season, he's been getting back a lot more than he has in previous campaigns and helping out. And yet he's still that threat going forward as well.
Well, that QPR game meant, effectively, over the course of the weekend, United remained 12 points clear at the top of the table. And after the game, a very happy, not surprisingly happy, Raphael spoke to me. Let's get his thoughts on the victory at Loftus Road.
A very good day, you know, good result. So we are very happy.
You must be very happy. Tell us about the goal.
The ball. I see the ball coming straight for me. I just hit stronger, couldn't. It's a good goal.
As soon as you hit it, did you know it was in?
You know, when you hit the ball, you can feel, you know, when the way you hit. So soon I hit, I just hope someone don't flick or do something, you know, just because I knew it's good to the goal.
Have you ever scored a better goal in junior football, any football? Have you scored a better goal in the back garden? Have you scored a better goal than that?
I can't remember now. Liverpool, it's not the same goal, you know. It's more like he just curled the ball, but I can't remember. I think it is.
And that's three goals you've got this season. So I mean, and the defenders are all chipping in with goals, is it?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going forward. Now we get back as well, you know, not concede goals, clean sheets. This is good as well. So we're just keeping the moment goal, like I always say, and just get the points.
A clean sheet as well. That's three straight clean sheets in the league. How much confidence does that give you and, of course, the goalkeeper?
You know, you can see when he just started one clean sheet and another one, and just give you the confidence, the moment, you know, for the defenders. So I think that's what's happening. We just get the consistent and the confidence.
How important was it to get that second goal there? Because they were always in the game.
Yeah, it's important goal, you know, because they one when you like always say it's nervous game. You never know what's gonna happen. And when we score the second, when Ryan scored the second goal, it's just everyone. No, it's good, and then everyone gets. Oh, it's a good goal.
What can you say about Giggsy? It's amazing. Right. He scored here 20 years ago, and he's still doing it.
You know, we speak about Giggs. It's getting boring because, you know, we just have to speak good words, because every game he play, he score, he get assists, he run. You know, he's stoppable. That's the word. He's unstoppable.
It seems to be a very sort of gritty, determined performance. It just shows. I think you really wanted to extend this lead at the top of the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. We know what's happened last season. Like I always say, you know, you want to win every game. You know, every single game. You don't want to like make chances for them. So that's exactly what we're doing. We just win all the games. That's important.
And when you get home, you're going to put the TV on straight away and keep watching that goal.
Definitely. No, I'm going to speak. Everyone going to call. Oh, say what a goal. So it's very good. I'm very very happy.
Well, this weekend, United, of course, welcomed Norwich to Old Trafford. They haven't won here since 1989, but they were the last team to beat United in the Premier League back in mid-November, and they deservedly beat United at Carrow Road that day. So what are you expecting from them this weekend?
They just had a win last weekend, yeah. Just when you thought they were really badly off form, weren't they? They got beaten in the Cup by Luton at home, which was a shocking result by any stretch of the imagination. They seem to have a funny season where they started off badly, then had a great run, which included beating us, and they slumped again, and now they just seem to have picked up with this win against Everton, although Everton themselves seem to have faded a little bit. So, I mean, it'll give them confidence. They brought on Kamara, I think it might have been his debut, certainly his first time he's had a real impact, and he scored one and helped set one up. So I don't know if he'll play against us. They'll probably come with nothing to fear, I guess, in a way. They caused us problems last season. Yeah. I remember the game quite vividly where...
2-0, but it wasn't
they were
2-0,
through, wasn't
no,
it?
Yeah. It's a lot closer.
I think sort of Phil Jones made a really good tackle when they were clean through, I seem to remember, in one point. And it won't be easy, I guess. We're sort of all anticipating the sort of game where, again, we may have to grind out the victory, be put under a bit of pressure even in the second half.
But who's going to... Is it a case where you get the team sheet and be thinking, I wonder if that means he's not playing on Tuesday, or... I wonder if some players might think, I don't want... If I get the team sheet, I'm not sure I want to be on it on Saturdays. I might not be playing on Tuesday.
Possibly, yeah, but I think that's unavoidable because I think the manager just... He maps things out, you know, well in advance of how he's going to do it. So he might even pick his Real Madrid team first and then work backwards from there. But, you know, I just think that these are the sort of games that we have to be wary of. I thought the same before the Everton game when we had the Real Madrid game coming up after that, the first leg. I think you can get ahead of yourselves, and that sort of mantra of just focusing one game at a time, it's boring for us, you know, really, you know, as journalists to hear somebody say that, but it's true, because if you start looking too far ahead, then you know you're not going to be concentrating on the job you've got to do. And I think Norwich at the weekend is going to be a tough one for us, and I think we just need to, like we have done recently, just get through it.
And how would it affect confidence if, say, Norwich came here and beat
us?
I mean, and going into the Real game, I think a lot of people saying Real will do the same against Barcelona and rest a load of their players at the weekend. If they get beaten 3 or 4 nil at home by Barcelona, how are they going to feel? Even if it's a different team, I still think it has an impact. So we have to be focused and we have to get that game won.
I don't think there's any worry that we won't be, to be honest, because I think, certainly as a fan, all I keep thinking about is last season. And, you know, when people are saying, oh, it's over, plenty of people said to me it's over, and some of, you know, the legends we were, they've said, yeah, you know, done and dusted. It's not at all, because that will live with all of us, what happened last season, and that will certainly be very much on the players' minds. There's no question. They won't want to be harping on about last season, but you can guarantee they will be focused on every game. And, you know, like the guys just said, they'll know that a positive result on Saturday is actually very key for Tuesday as well.
What about the momentum at the moment? Because we haven't lost in the league since that Norwich game in mid-November. We haven't lost at all since that dead rubber game against Cluj here at Old Trafford. The sort of cliche tends to be that United kick on at this point, but it does seem to be happening in December, January, February. Run of difficult fixtures, busy run of fixtures, and haven't lost any of them.
I think the squad has been a massive part of that, and managing that. I think at the start of the season we had a lot of injuries defensively, but... the squad just looks so strong at the moment, I think, in a lot of different departments, up front, at the back, in the field, even on the wings as well, as we were saying earlier. I think we've just got a lot of strength and depth, and I think that the manager can pick and choose what he wants to do in the different games. And I think that has been the key thing, managing the squad rotation. We've talked before about not having this idea of your best 11 just doesn't exist anymore. It's you pick 11 players to deal with the games that are in front of you. I think that's what the manager's done really well.
Yeah. 3 home games in a week as well, so you sorted the programmes out.
Not quite.
We're getting there.
Yeah, but I suppose this is the time of the season you want it to be like this. When you think of the fixture list comes out at the start of the season, this is what you want, I suppose, when you get to this, the business end. You've got big Premier League games, Champions League game against Real Madrid, FA Cup tie against the holders Chelsea. I mean, this is what we're in the game for, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, as much as the players love it, like we love it as people who work here and as fans, and you know, I think we've had 2 blank weeks, haven't we, the last 2 weeks, and looking forward to having a midweek game next week.
I think that's you're right. I mean, we were arguing with people before, saying City were in the better position because they're out of Europe, they've only got the league, that's the main thing. I mean, what would you rather be, City trying to make up, hopefully, 15 points down to 12, and then looking forward to Real Madrid the day after?
I've got to ask for predictions from all of you for the Norwich game, please.
I think it's going to be quite similar to some of the recent games. I'll go for 2-0, but... You know, I think it'd be professional performance. I don't think it'd be classy, but 2-0, yeah.
2-1.
I was going to say 2-0. I'll go 3-0.
Well, I was going to go for 2-0 as well. Another clean sheet, by the way. That would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. That'd be four consecutive clean sheets. So we're all... You can't see any sort of shock.
No, I think, like I said before, I just think everyone is too focused, you know, knowing what happened last season and that we're in such a good position and keep ticking the games off. This is, you know, we're at home and we should win and we must win.
Now, six players are on the shortlist for the ManUnited.com Player of the Month award for February. David De Gea, Rafael Nemanja Vidic, Rio Ferdinand, Michael Carrick and Ryan Giggs are on the shortlist.
We have got a story behind this.
You go ahead and tell us it.
There was a very, very big debate in the office the other day about who should be on this shortlist, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
We debated it for probably about half an hour, didn't we? Well, argued slightly. But Adam will go for...
Yeah, I mean, I just thought Nani had to be on the shortlist. I'm not saying I would have voted for him to win it. I think most people think David De Gea was the outstanding player and Rafael probably runner-up. But I thought Nani deserved to be on the shortlist because he had such an impact when he came on in the FA Cup and, you know, it was a terrific performance. I thought the shot he had that hit the post, if that had gone in, we'd still be talking about that now.
I think me and Ben and a couple of others managed to get Rio on there. Only just because it's one of those Rios had a really good month, but almost under the radar. He's just been that good, you know, he's just been solid, but not caught the eye like others have necessarily. But, you know, I think Michael Carrick initially, I don't know if he was on there.
Yeah, but we added a couple, didn't we, in the end? But.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that the six players that we chose that you mentioned earlier, Stuart, I think there was Nani, even Phil Jones, who played really well against Everton.
Yeah, I was going to mention Phil Jones. Yeah.
Danny Welbeck, you know, he's coming in and done pretty well as well. I think the big thing is that you start looking at that and you say, well, that's like nine players. There's probably maybe others as well.
Yeah,
that's good that you in February when you're playing a lot of big games and you needed big performances, you've got nine players who feasibly could, you know, could win a Player of the Month.
And look, we're not including Wayne Rooney and Van Persie. I mean,
exactly,
you know, the big strikers who gets all the goals. So it does show you the strength, and it's always hard, and we do have a debate all the time. We try and be scientific and look at which ones have been nominated for Man of the Match and one Man of the Match, and then we end up arguing about it anyway
and then
after.
Obviously, you know, we've got our feelings as well watching the games.
Come on, name one then. I'm going for De Gea because he's had so much stick, and I think he's done really well. Clean sheets in the Premier League and superb in the Bernabeu.
Yeah, I think you'd struggle to like look past him, really. But special mentions to Michael Carrick and Rio.
Yeah, David De Gea. I think Rafael second. If only that first half against Real, by his own admission, like we said, he was maybe a bit nervous. He looked until he sorted it out at half-time. If it wasn't for that, I think he'd have been closer. But David De Gea.
I think De Gea as well. I don't think you can see past him. I think he's, you know, I think he's been fantastic. And like you said, it's the whole story of, you know, that he's had criticism in the past, but he's still kept his head. You know, his temperament's excellent. I personally I've really enjoyed watching Giggs the last month. I think just you maybe not getting 90 minutes out of him every single week, but I think what you are getting is a lot of quality.
Okay, well, thank you to Ben, to Adam, and to Gemma. I'm Stuart Gardner from MUTV, and we will return with another podcast before the Real Madrid game next week. Bye for now.